Welcome back to the second half of The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. The number to call to join us, 614-8980, if you have got questions or comments. So we used to say about Mexico, what Mexico used to say about itself and its own pessimistic future, so far from God, so close to the United States. Then there was the book, A Distant Neighbors, Alan Riding, published in 1989 about Mexico, which covered, among many things, the nation's problem with being a petroleum-based economy. And now there's two nations indivisible, Mexico and the United States, and the road ahead. Shannon K. O'Neill is the author, and she has a much more positive forecast for Mexico and the United States going forward. Welcome to The Source.
Thanks, David. Nice to be here.
So why would they used to say that, so far from God, so close to the United States? What do they mean by that phrase?
Well, Mexico for so many years felt overshadowed by the United States. It had, rightly so, long, long ago, a real fear of the United States coming in and taking part of its territory, because we did do that long, long ago.
It invaded Mexico numerous times.
Exactly. And Texas, you know, as all of you know here, was once part of Mexico. Now, of course, not. And so there was that hangover. There was also the feeling that the United States had thrived over the last 150, 200 years, while Mexico hadn't and hadn't grown as quickly. And so many in Mexico blamed their lack of growth, many of their political problems, social problems and the like, on the fact that they were so close to the United States.
Yeah, and there were times that the United States actively disrupted Mexico to prevent it from becoming a developed nation.
There were those times. And the issue is today that it's really changed. And now we're in the situation, given the ties that have developed between the two countries, that if Mexico does well, the United States will do well. And if Mexico doesn't, the United States will be hit by that. And so that's a big difference from the past.
Right. So we have NAFTA, which is, we're about to celebrate 20 years of NAFTA. And also we had Bill Clinton helping bolster the peso when it ran into a tough spot. So and that, I think, has paid dividends in developing Mexico.
You know, you look at Mexico's history, especially over the last 20 or 30 years, and it's become a fundamentally different place. So as you mentioned, with NAFTA, other economic changes, what was once a closed, oil-driven economy is now one of the most open in the world, globally competitive, and actually driven by manufactured goods. And those manufactured goods are actually very linked to the United States. So that is totally different than before.
So San Antonio, you know, historically connected to Mexico. Muy simpático, people say about San Antonio down south, and this could be the bridge to, bring the two countries closer together, or take advantage, or get that synergy going.
You know, there's two big bridges that we've seen. One is this economic side, and San Antonio could be a crucial part of that. You look over the last 20 years since NAFTA was signed, and trade between the two nations is now over $500 billion worth of goods, so one of our most important partners. But it's more than the amount of money. It's really about the types of decisions businesses make and how that what goes back and forth. And so what we've seen is thousands and thousands of companies make the decision to produce in both places. So, for instance, what's made in Mexico, i.e. imported from Mexico, on average, almost 40% was actually made in the United States by U.S. workers. So in places like San Antonio, in places like Dallas, in places actually as far away as Michigan or Illinois or Vermont. So that is a big shift. The other big shift in benefits San Antonio has is the ties we see have deepened through personal ties, through individuals, through families, through communities that now are working but living on both sides of the border. And that's a benefit for both countries, something to be deepened and something to take advantage of. And that's something San Antonio can do as well.
We're talking about the future of Mexico and United States relations, looking mainly from a business point of view. And if you want to join the conversation, tell us what you think about these opportunities that San Antonio could take advantage of. 614-8980, that's our phone number. You can also email us at thesource@tpr.org. So to hear us talking, you know, we've ignored this big problem that Mexico has. It's narco trafficking. Rule of law doesn't always apply in Mexico.
This is Mexico's fundamental challenge today. While a lot of good changes have happened, whether economic changes or political changes, Mexico's now a competitive democracy, social changes, the rise of a middle class, those are all the good things, but there is a big very difficult thing, a very bad thing, and that is the rise of violence, the rise of corruption, the rise of impunity. And so this is the fundamental challenge for Mexico today.
And San Antonio, it does have connections with Mexican nationals who are moving here due to the problems in Mexico, and it's become like a $5 billion influx of cash into the region. It's huge, and it's also strengthening ties with Mexico.
Right. We've seen many people leave, some from the wealthiest classes, from the middle, even the working classes. Many come to places like San Antonio, bring their families, bring their businesses, bring their investments, and bring really their vision of the future. And so in some ways, the challenges Mexico faces is benefiting places like San Antonio. But there's other ways for San Antonio to benefit from Mexico. And if Mexico was doing well, if they could get past the security problem, if their economy began to grow faster, if they were a much stronger place, San Antonio would benefit in that way too, not just from the difficult times, but from the good times.
And right now we're seeing a very strong peso in Mexico, and it's had a positive impact here in San Antonio. We have our Semana Santa shoppers. They had where they were buying like crazy. It's a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
So how's the peso doing? Why is it so strong? What does that mean economically?
You know, it's been strong for a couple of different reasons. One is Mexico's macroeconomics are very strong. So you look at its debt to GDP ratios, they're very low. You look at its fiscal balances. So, you know, government spending, particularly compared to our own, they balance their checkbooks down there. Lots of things are going well in Mexico. So in that sense, the peso is quite strong. The other reason is Mexico has really become a manufacturing powerhouse. So we see over 75% of its exports are now manufactured goods, and they're now competitive with places like China, where 10 years ago they were really getting hit hard by China. Now they're competitive. So as companies, as investors, as others look forward, they are putting a bet on Mexico, but a good bet on Mexico. So that's part of the reason why the peso has been strengthening.
Yeah, we've heard offshoring for so long. Now there's onshoring. We're hearing about companies moving from China to Mexico to do trade here in North America.
You're right. We've seen a lot of companies come back, or other companies just decide to move to Mexico. And, you know, this is actually an important thing. When we think about companies moving to Mexico, often in the United States, the conventional wisdom is, you know, this takes jobs from the United States. And even President Obama in February in the State of the Union, he had this mention about Ford Motor Company, praising Ford for bringing jobs back from Mexico. But that's actually not what has happened. And what Ford Motor Company has done is they've created factories in Mexico, so created jobs in Mexico, and in the process created jobs in the United States. And the way they've done that is by putting part of production in Mexico, part in the United States. They've been more competitive globally. They've been able to sell more cars and create jobs on both sides of the border. And it's not just Ford. There are many, many companies that are doing this. So this is a real change. And important to understand is the benefits of having production in both places.
And is that the maquiladora model? I mean, we used to have twin factories, one on each side of the border, and doing just-in-time parts moving around?
It is that. It's the maquiladora model, but it's sort of the maquiladoras on steroids. So it's gotten more technical, more advanced. It's not just at the border. Sometimes it's far inland on both sides. But it is that part is done here, part is done there, and it's this dance across the border to get to the final product.
All right, we're talking with Shannon O'Neill. She's the author of the new book, Two Nations Indivisible, Mexico and the United States and the Road Ahead. We welcome your calls, 614-8980, and you're listening to The Source. We'll be right back.
Good afternoon. It's 3:45. I'm Steve Short. There is a report of an accident on eastbound I-10 at Medical on the northwest side. Also, watch out for a collision reported on northbound Loop 1604 at Petrenko.
KSTX traffic is made possible by rentatoyotasanantonio.com.
It's going to remain cloudy tonight with a low around 72. It'll be mostly cloudy on Wednesday with a high near 88. Currently, it's 85 degrees.
KSTX thanks the following community partners for their support. San Antonio Choral Society, University of Texas Health Science Center School of Nursing, Southwest Research Institute, St. Paul's Episcopal Church and School, and SA Film, San Antonio Film Festival. Details about the community partner program and how nonprofit organizations can get involved can be found at tpr.org.
Welcome back to The Source. I'm David Martin Davies. Mexico and the United States, after many, many false starts, maybe finally we're on the right road and we're going in the right direction and we're going somewhere together. Maybe it's the road to prosperity. That's what we're all hoping for. Talking about that is Shannon O'Neill. She's the author of the book, Two Nations, Indivisible, Mexico, the United States, and the Road Ahead. If you want to join the conversation, tell us about your experiences trading in Mexico, doing business with Mexico. If you're from Mexico and you want to talk about what you think's happening down there, we certainly want to hear from you. 614-8980, Two Nations, Indivisible. So, I mean, it's really true because you know what? Mexico's not going away. We're always going to be neighbors.
Exactly. You know, it's interesting. Almost no other nation affects us as much as Mexico on an everyday basis. So, you know, whether it's the food on our table, to the parts in our cars, as we were talking about, to the consumers that buy our goods, to the drugs on our streets, they are part of America's everyday lives.
You know, when I think about the word border, I also compare it to the word cleave, you know. So cleave is one of those weird words that means to split apart but also bring together. And so the border separates the two countries, but it also brings the two countries together. And so that's also where we're having the most difficulty. People want to secure the border. We're not getting enough resources to have effective trade moving through the bridges. So what do you think needs to happen to our border in order to reach this vision that you have for America and and Mexico to achieve this prosperity?
Well, we have spent a lot of time and money over the last 10 years working on securing the border, so border enforcement. We've more than doubled the resources that go to the border, whether under Democratic presidents, Republican presidents, all have put money down there. And we've doubled the Border Patrol, so it's now over 20,000 people. And most people would say the border is more secure than it's ever been. Doesn't mean it's perfectly secure, but it's more secure. Thinking forward, it's not more resources that we need. It's changes in many of our laws, and particularly the issue of illegal immigration, which has been a big focus of border security. How do you decrease the incentives for Mexicans to come illegally? And right now, if you have family members here, you'll wait years, maybe even decades, to get here legally. And if you don't have family members here, there's no line to get into. So thinking about changing immigration laws is one way to help secure the border. But we should also be thinking about not just how do we keep the bad out, but how do we better let the good in? Because as we've been talking about, it's so important for communities like San Antonio, so important for our economies and workers and companies and the like. And so should we put more resources towards that part, facilitating the good while we're trying to diminish the bad?
We hear this phrase spillover violence all the time, which I don't understand because as far as I'm concerned, it's all spillover violence because it comes from a problem that we both share, which is illegal drugs.
I mean, that is really what's happening. The drugs are coming over, but it's also because of the demand here. And illegal markets, whether they're drug markets or contraband markets or human trafficking or whatever they are, because they're illegal, because you can't go to court to settle your disputes, often lead to bloodshed. So part of that is really what's happening domestically here. That's where we see a lot of it. It's not the problem coming from Mexico.
So how much leadership do we need on our side in Washington, D.C., in order to make sure that, you know, well, as a matter of fact, President Obama is going to Mexico very soon. So he's evidently he sees that there needs to be some effort here.
Well, he's headed down at the beginning of May, and this will be an important meeting. It'll be the first time both of the presidents, Enrique Peña Nieto, he's now sitting president, Obama's now in his second term, they'll have their teams down there, and they need to focus on all of these issues. A big one is the economic issue. Recognizing these deep ties, how do you improve it? How do you make it better for companies working on both sides and all of their employees and the like? But they'll also focus on issues like security. I mean, both of these are the two big issues in the relationship, the two real concerns in the relationship. We'll see other issues also on the table, things like education, things like the environment, lots of stuff around the border. But, you know, this is one of our most important relationships. So getting down there, having a full day of meetings, getting the teams together who can then work together for the next 4+ years is vital.
Fighting over resources, one thing is water. We're very concerned about sharing of water from Mexico, United States, trying to come up with agreements that will stick. Is that something that is critical in reaching this road ahead?
It will be critical because...
Especially in agricultural business, it's huge.
Definitely. And we have agriculture on both sides of the border. We send things down there and they obviously send fruits and vegetables and others up here. So this will be important. And to work together on this, there's agreements on the water that we do share. How do we divide it up, particularly in times of drought? But there's also other ways we can work together, whether to improve water efficiency in our irrigation, in the way in our reservoirs and stuff. That's something that a positive way we can work together. So in the longer term, medium longer term, we can head off these fights over water that appear when, you know, when nature doesn't help us out.
Sure. Well, let's go to the phones. Francisco is on the air. Welcome to The Source, Francisco.
Yes. Hi. I just want to make a comment regarding the problems that we have in Mexico regarding to the drugs and narcos and everything, that most of the problem is due to two main factors, in my opinion, which is the high demand of the drugs from this country, from USA, and the ammunition and all the everything, all the guns come from here. 95% of all the rifles and everything are coming from the United States, because Mexico does not manufacture any arms. They don't have any guns. So if they don't stop with making such a tremendous marketing here, everybody can buy us, as we know now with these problems regarding the guns and rifles that everybody buys and just like it's pancakes. And if they don't have any control on that, and something has to be done as well with the use of the drugs here, with our citizens here in the United States.
All right, Francisco.
Mexico is not going to change.
Yeah. All right, sir. Well, thank you for your call. I appreciate that. So he's talking about how it's a problem that involves both nations, and we have to work together in order to come up with a solution.
Yeah. You know, Francisco, thanks so much for your call. And, you know, I agree with you. A big part of our demand has fueled these organized crime organizations. But it's interesting. If you look at the United States, there's more money in drugs here, because we're the retail market and that's where the money is. And there's more guns here than the United States. But we don't today have the violence problem that Mexico has. So there's something else also going on in Mexico. And that is that Mexico has not been able to establish a democratic rule of law. So they do not have strong enough police forces that have been vetted, that have been clean, that really the community trusts. And they also have not been able yet to clean up their court systems and to make them strong enough to be able to punish the guilty and free the innocent. So while we do need to work with Mexico in particularly controlling our demand as well as the supply of guns, there are steps Mexico needs to do. And if they can do that on the rule of law side, then they can handle drug violence, they can handle organized crime, they can handle basic crimes, robberies and the like, which also plague the country there.
But the narco traffickers are directly taking aim at the institutions of law and the police forces and even the reporters. I mean, it's very difficult to establish these institutions when they're under direct attack.
It is hard to do it. But in part, Mexico's problem is they never had these institutions in the past. You look at Mexico's history, and for 70 years, it was ruled by one political party. And that party used the courts, it used the police as part of their political machinery. So they used it as a carrot and a stick. It wasn't set up to be an autonomous and independent and a fair system. So in the last 10, 15 years, Mexico's been trying to create a real system of justice, to create strong police forces, doing it exactly when the narco traffickers started coming in and being much stronger. So it is a challenge, but it's also, think about it, as the beginning of a process for Mexico.
And the new president, Peña Nieto, he's trying to get them Mexico there?
He has said that he will come out with a big security strategy, that one of his top priorities is reducing violence. So he's moving that direction. It's unclear yet what his big plan is.
Isn't he like starting a whole new kind of police force?
He's talked about creating yet another police force. So to do this, to be a clean police force that would go in and deal with these problems. The question is what that police force will do, why to create a new one rather than use the ones you have there and clean those up. But it is a big effort that he's making.
So Mexico's middle class, everyone's talking about the middle class of Mexico, but what about the underclass? What's happening there?
Mexico has seen this huge expansion of the middle class over the last 15 years. But that doesn't mean that there still aren't tens of millions who aren't in that class. They're still living in poverty or just on the line there. What Mexico needs to do is grow and grow faster. To do that, part of the solution will be ties to the United States. It will be increasing even more the manufacturing and the other back and forth that helps us here but also helps them. if Mexico can create more jobs, more people will be able to come out of poverty. And that really is the path for these tens of millions who have not yet benefited from Mexico's strong or stable and steady growth.
Well, some people say that it's a cultural problem that goes back all the way back to colonialization, that the upper class just didn't really give much thought to the poverty and the plight of the working poor.
You know, Mexico has had great divides between the haves and the have-nots for many years. And it is a challenge that many countries face, particularly Mexico is facing. How do you reduce that? How do you make government, society, economy more socially inclusive so it's not just those at the top that benefit? We've seen over the last 10 years a beginning of an improvement in inequality. So the differences between the rich and poor have started to shrink. And we've also seen the beginnings of this growth of a middle class, and a very diverse one, all types of professionals and accountants and, you know, travel agents and people who own their own companies and teachers and lawyers and all this. We've started to see a blossoming of this. So I do think Mexico's on that path. They could move faster. Some of the things this government's trying to do, taking on the monopolies in Mexico, that would help them move faster. So they're on this path, but they're at a crossroads. If they can tackle this problem, Mexico will do better. If they can't, there'll be trouble.
Do you think we should yoke the two currencies together, the peso and the dollar?
I think it's fine to have two different currencies, and that's the reality of what the future brings for both countries. But we can come together in many other ways.
All right. Well, thank you. Some interesting things to think about, some hopeful things to think about for Mexico. Shannon O'Neill, author of Two Nations Indivisible. Thank you so much for joining us on The Source. And I want to thank our callers and online participants today. Paul Flav is the show's producer. Wayne Coble is TPR program director. Chris Udaly is our web producer. We get production help from Catherine Dixon. I'm David Martin Davies. Check us out online at tpr.org. The conversation continues online. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation. Tomorrow on The Source, standardized testing in Texas schools. Has it gotten out of control? For years, these tests were pushed by state lawmakers as a way to improve public education. But after a public outcry, the legislature is looking to reduce the number of tests and the time dedicated to taking them. How did Texas flunk the standardized test, and what comes next? Grab your number two pencil and tell us what you think. Join us for The Source, Wednesday afternoon at 3 on KSTX.
Support for KSTX comes from San Antonio's Department for Culture and Creative Development, celebrating National Poetry Month with events including Poet Laureate Carmen Tafoya, La Voz de San Antonio, and more. Details at npmsa.com. From the KSTX Community Events Calendar, this Thursday from 12:30 to 1:30, Anna Ratto will speak at Texas A&M about her experiences as a Holocaust survivor. Friday and Saturday is Fiesta Especial at New Creations Fellowship Park from 10 to 4 for individuals with disabilities. And the annual Northside Art Festival is this Saturday from 4 to 8 at McAllister Auditorium. Find details on these events and more at tpr.org. The Community Events Calendar is a public service of KSTX. News and views, KSTX San Antonio, on the air at 89.1 FM and online at tpr.org. It's 4 o'clock.